Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So this week, I invited the lovely Nicola Ray Wickham onto the podcast. She's been someone that I've been following for a really long time, particularly on stories. She's so joyful and wise and supportive and loving. So if you haven't come across Nicola before, she's a creative mentor who helps driven creative women who either already run or have dreams of running their own creative business. She helps them bring that dream business to life and then flourish in that business. And you just know with Nicola that I can just tell you're in such a safe pair of hands. So I've been wanting to get her on the podcast for ages. She's got her own podcast actually called Dream and Do, which is for women who are ready to make change big and small. So she really is a woman after my own heart, talking about making your dreams come true. So I've wanted to get her on the podcast for ages. So I decided to invite her to do it. But 5 days before she gave birth, which she was very happy to do, but which is why we did it online, so she didn't have to leave the comfort of her home. But well, you've heard the podcast. Isn't she gorgeous?
Oh, I just love her. I'd love to meet her one day. Maybe I'll go to one of her events when she's back from maternity leave. Oh, yeah. What great conversation. It was just such a good, deep and meaningful chat. Exactly what our Project Love podcasts are all about.
She was, honestly, in the conversation, I just felt we just slipped into the depths. And I think that's really something that Nicola does. And I've had to talk with Tamu, who she often teams up with. And they just always take things so deep.
Yeah, I love it.
It was, I just came out of it feeling I had this wonderful bath of inspiration.
Yeah, I felt like I was sitting there with a cup of tea with you both, which is what people tell us they love about our podcast as well. It's like having a chat with a couple of girlfriends. Yeah, I loved the conversation. It was so fascinating to hear her talk about money and wealth. And actually, our money stories can be a story of wellness.
Yeah, exactly.
The wealth and wellness. I'd never really thought about it like that actually you can have both. It can be that story of wellness. That was really fascinating.
Yeah, I think she and Tamu are really going to take that conversation and make it go far, so watch that space and enjoy this episode.
Nicola, thank you so much for joining me, but possibly days before you have a baby.
So lovely to be here though.
How close are you to your due date?
I am 2 weeks.
Oh wow, okay, so we've got a little bit of time.
2 weeks today, yeah.
Amazing. So I was just thinking about this as we were preparing for this podcast today and what it was that I wanted to talk to you about. And I mean, we could literally be here for hours. Because I want to hear about your story. I want to hear how you got into what you do today. I want to hear what you love about what it is you do today and how you help people. I want to hear about Dream and Do, your podcast, and Dreaming and Doing. Because within that, we are kindred spirits, because I'm all about the dreaming and doing as well and always have been. And I'd also love to hear about the event that you did recently, which I still forget. Is it Wellbeing and Wealth? Wellness and Wealth?
Wellness and Wealth. Oh gosh, I've forgotten now. Wellness and Wealth.
Is Wellness and Wealth.
Wellbeing and Wealth. Oh my goodness. I blame baby brain.
You can blame baby brain.
But essentially it's all about how we believe, Tamu and I, that wellness is a key part of our wealth.
Yeah.
And we can't have kind of one without the other.
Yeah. So I would definitely like to dive into that in a little while. But first of all, could you tell everyone that's listening, who's never heard of the wonderful Nicola Ray Wickham? Is that how I say your name, by the way?
It is.
It is good.
It's very royal the way you say it though, Selena. I like it.
Could you tell everyone what it is that you do today and how you help people?
Okay, so I am the founder of A Life More Inspired, which is a platform that affirms and celebrates women's self-worth. And the main way I do that is through creative mentoring. So I help women take the ideas that are on their hearts and minds and turn them into something real, really. I combine my marketing experience, that's what I trained in, that's what I've done since university, with my coaching. So I got qualified in coaching a couple of years ago. So I really combine them to help women dream and do. So, you know, those ideas that you've got that are like filling up notebooks and consuming conversations with family and friends to the point that they're sick of hearing about it. I help you take those dreams and those ideas and make them real.
So, yeah. Oh, amazing. And how much do you love helping people to dream and clarify those dreams and then actually make them happen? Doesn't it feel like magic?
It is so good.
It's so good.
And you know what, Sina? Sometimes I don't know if I'm more in love with the experience of helping them, but also the ideas that they kind of birth as well.
Yeah.
Because the women that I work with, they're real purpose-driven women. They know that the stuff that they've got to put out into the world is going to help people.
Yeah.
But often they're too scared to do it, or there's like fears and blocks in the way. But I'm also in love with their ideas and the prospect of it being going out into the world and making that impact as well. So it's twofold, but I absolutely adore it.
Oh, so amazing. So how did you get into this? Like, what's your story? What were you doing previously in marketing, and how have you ended up helping people in this way? Because to get into a role that you're doing today, there has going to have been some big leaps and some big acts of courage along the way. So yeah, what is your story?
Absolutely. Well, I studied sociology at uni and then went into marketing. I worked in fashion marketing. So that's what I did for kind of the beginning of my career. Yeah. And then I worked in various corporate roles, and I always knew that I wanted to start my own thing, but kind of felt like I didn't know where to start. I actually trained to be a beauty therapist, but I was really bad at it. Like, I was terrible. You know, when you're kind of training, and I was doing it on the weekends around my corporate job, and my friends would come around so I could practice manicures on them. This is a manicure. 2 hours later, I hadn't finished.
This is amazing. So wait, so the first, like, the corporate world isn't for me. I know I want to do my own thing. Maybe it's like beauty.
Yes.
Was that what I see? I love this, because it's, you know, when you then you try it out and the reality doesn't always match the dream. But was that like your first kind of big dream and going after a different kind of dream?
Yeah, it wasn't even that I particularly loved beauty. Like, I wasn't one of those girls that, I mean, they didn't have beauty blogs back then, because we're talking about a while ago, but I was never particularly into it. But I thought, I know that I want to live life differently. I know that I want flexibility. I know that kind of being in a corporate role stuck to a desk isn't for me. So when I was doing my research as to what I could possibly do, that came up, and I thought, well, I like to have my nails done. let's see. But I was positively like awful at it. I really was. There was no denying. My friends would be like, "Oh, where's the nail varnish remover?" But I was proud of myself for taking that leap and deciding to do something different, and also listening to that voice in my head that was saying, actually, explore other things. Yes, you may have studied for this job and it's safe and it's secure and it ticks all of the boxes, kind of traditional boxes, but it's not ticking all of your boxes, so let's go and explore.
And that's what so much of it is about exploring and experimenting and giving things a try and checking in with yourself and going, actually, maybe it's not the nails. Maybe it's something else.
Exactly. It's just giving yourself permission, isn't it? To do that. And I was in my early 20s, so I had kind of less responsibility in that sense, so it was easier. But it was also a leap, because none of my friends were doing that. They were all like, beauty therapist, really?
Yeah, exactly. Because my story is similar. So I went into marketing and was just like, mm-mm. And it's same. I always knew that I wanted to do my own thing. And but really, the moment I went into working in an office with a boss, I was just like, no way, yeah. Not for the next 40 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, right, I'm going to go and do other stuff, try stuff out. I sold ice creams at festivals, burritos in East London, all sorts of stuff, taught languages, made jewelry. And but my friends, because we were in our 20s, they were like, what are you doing? So even though it's at that young age where you think, oh, well, everyone's just out having fun, actually, there's still quite a rigid thinking around what yes. work is supposed to be. So it's mm-hmm. still, it's actually almost, there are more people now I'm in my 30s and nearing getting to my 40s, more people now making these leaps than there were when I was in my 20s. So yes. Did you find the same? You were like the only one that was going, I want something different.
Yes, absolutely. And I found that I've always been that only one kind of throughout that's been a bit, oh, not quite happy with that. I'm just going to explore something else. Like another thing, around that time, I went back to adult ballet classes.
Oh, did you?
I'm not good at ballet. Like I did ballet when I was a child, and they used to put us up for exams, like no matter what level you were, they put you through to exams. And it was at the Royal National Ballet, which it all sounding now like I'm an amazing ballet dancer. I was not. Like I fell over in the exam and busted my lip. I was awful. But then at the age of 24, I was like, right, I'm going back to adult ballet classes. And again, like my work colleagues and friends found it absolutely hilarious. On a Friday night, I would go to the class and then go meet them for drinks.
I love it though. I love Nicola in her 20s, who was just like, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, I'm gonna do that. It's just joyful hearing it. And I love the fact that it was, it's so good to tell the story where it wasn't like I knew exactly what I wanted to do and off I went and I did it. It was just like, I tried all these things. Some were fun, some I wasn't that good at. But, you know, you're learning all the time as well, right?
Exactly. And that learning experience of being in the ballet room kind of thing on the bar, and you had girls that had evidently been very, very good. And they were still kind of had a bit of that. And then me at the back who was like, embarrassingly awful, but it was such a good experience to have that.
Yeah.
Not have to be perfect, to be doing something because you love the way it felt.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something quite powerful about putting yourself in those situations where you kind of don't care how you look.
Yeah, unapologetic.
Yeah, exactly.
So bold, like, and owning it. I'm doing this. Like, it's not about how I look necessarily. Stay on those 2 feet throughout.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't bust my lip at the age of 24, which was good. They might not have let me in the bar afterwards if I'd done
that. So how did you get into, then how did you go from there and realise that actually coaching and helping people bring their dreams and make them real, how did you get into that?
Well, I kind of always had an inkling that I would be doing something like that. I kind of wish instead of beauty therapy that I'd come across coaching then, because that would have been amazing timing, but that's in hindsight. But so then I started, while I was on maternity leave, I started freelancing. So I was helping small businesses with their marketing. Something I'd also dabbled with a few years previous was becoming a wedding blogger, because when I was getting married, there was no representation of Black brides or Black British brides. And I just saw such a gap. I was consuming loads of wedding magazines. I was spending like 20 quid a month on wedding magazines and not seeing myself at all.
Yeah.
And so I was like, right, I'm going to create this wedding blog, which I did. And so, but then after I got married, I kind of got over that and got bored of it.
Because your wedding was done.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not interested in it anymore. So it turned into a bit more of a lifestyle blog, but I knew I wanted to start my own business. So on maternity leave, I started freelancing, and then I started helping wedding businesses with their marketing. Mm. It was what I knew. It was the people that I knew. So it seemed logical to do that. And then I got myself a coach. So it was my first experience of being coached, which was just amazing. And through that process, I realized that I was doing what I felt I should be doing rather than what I wanted to do, which is always one of the glorious things about coaching.
Yeah.
And that's when A Life More Inspired was born. It was started off with a shop. So I sell affirmation cards and affirmation merchandise. And then women started asking me, like, well, how do you do it? So I kind of started coaching and then got my coaching qualification. And that's how it blossomed what it is today. And then more kind of in the last, say, year and a half, I brought back the marketing side because I love marketing when it's done in a certain way. Mm. And when I get to do it my way, combined with the coaching, helping women bring these amazing ideas to life, that is like the ideal. It was my sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it just took me a while to kind of find that. And now that I found it, I'm running with it and I love it.
Oh, so good. But I think it has to take a while. You know, people are always looking for the shortcuts and seeing, oh, if only I'd realised these certain things earlier. But that's the whole point. You have to go on a journey. And you keep, you know, and also we're forever evolving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we're ready at certain points and sort of, like you say, blossoming. It's just growing and blossoming and pieces are coming together. And I never grow tired of that journey.
Yeah. And it is a journey. And I think it's so easy for people to look at people like us and think that we kind of just woke up out of bed like this.
Yeah.
That there wasn't a journey behind it for us to find our thing.
Yeah.
And then they put that pressure on themselves that they must just have that big idea or that one thing that just lights them up. And it evolves and you find it through doing.
Exactly. Oh my God. This is my mantra. It's just like you will find the answers through doing. Mm-hmm. And I've always found that when people, wanting a career change, is that they want to miss that bit of the exploring and the experimenting. And it's just like, but that's where all the gold is. A, you have to go on that journey. And B, that's where you get like the life experiences. That's where you discover your inner resources of strength and courage and, you know, all these sort of things that you perhaps were lying dormant before. Like that's where it all kind of comes up to the surface. And I think, it's funny, isn't it? I think people often, they're looking for the answer. Like, what is the thing? What is the thing that's going to make me happy in life? What's the thing that's going to make me feel fulfilled? Rather than recognizing, well, that thing may change. It's very likely it's going to keep changing over time. It is a journey. It's not about just trying to find an answer get to a destination.
And I think some of the reason that they are wanting to find it is, like you said, not wanting to necessarily go through the grit that you almost need to do the journey, but also because they're scared to show the journey, that they feel like there's some kind of expectation that you need to show up as this finished product and have everything all sorted. And it's like, no, actually you can share the journey with your community. Like that's one of the best ways to create your community is to share that journey with them and share how you evolve with them. No one needs to show up and be the finished product.
Exactly. And where do you think that comes from? Because I find clients saying that a lot of like, you know, that shame of saying, well, they've quit their job and they're taking some time out to figure stuff out and they don't yet know what they want to do. And they're like, I get the going to a party. I get that kind of anxious anticipation of people asking me the question. So what are you up to? And like, what am I going to answer? And I'm just say you're figuring it out. But it's that idea that once we become adults, we should be able to give these very definitive answers. I am this. This is where I'm at. This is what I do. This is who I am. And if you're ever kind of figuring that stuff out, there's this sort of shame around it. Yeah. Where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes partly from the judgment piece. So there's that fear of judgment. But also I think there's that almost that judgment loop because there's a part of you that is probably judging others. It's really hard to hear. It's super hard to hear that. But when you can recognize that maybe where you're judging other people, where you're judging yourself, all those different choices and release that, then you can start to walk into that party and feel less judgment.
Yeah.
And then also it's partly because we put our self-worth in those labels of those roles of what we do and what we have and all of those kind of things. So when you're kind of doing the work on self-love and all of that kind of stuff, you realize that I'm more than whatever job I have or whatever I trained to be. Yeah. So it's kind of, yeah, it's complex though, and it's not easy.
Yeah, because it's scary stepping into that unknown and also taking off those identities that have become mm-hmm. your armor out in the world. So it's like if you say, you know, oh, well, I'm, you know, marketing manager at so-and-so.
Yeah.
And you've always said that, oh, that's good. You know, immediately kind of make a lot of positive judgments about you. If you no longer have that and you're like, well, I used to be marketing manager at so-and-so and now I'm sort of taking some time to figure it out, or, you know, it's suddenly, oh, all right. Yes. And I think other people, I think there's, because I think we're so innately uncomfortable with the unknown, other people are uncomfortable in hearing that. There's just suddenly this uncomfortable, oh, right. You know, sort of like,
yeah, where do we go?
I don't know where to put you now. I don't know what judgments I'm supposed to make about you. Kind of, you know, give me some more information so I know how to correctly position you. It's yes. just so much of that is going on, isn't there? Mm. And so to take that off is really scary.
It is. And that's why it's one of the biggest self-development things that you can do, isn't it? Like whether you're going to then start a business or brand from it, or you're just deciding to follow your dreams, it's so layered.
Yeah, I know, but that's why I love it, because it never gets boring to me. Can you hear the same themes coming up, don't you? But it's just like, and I just love seeing people go through that journey mm-hmm. and that scary thing of taking off their masks and their armor and all those things that they were relying on to sort of give them their place in society. And suddenly they're just like exposed and vulnerable. And that's when they really discover who they are, and they go through that thing of being scared of what they might discover. And it's just like, this is horrible for you, but it's the best thing for you in the long run. And I love it.
And you know what? What I've been exploring even more recently, because it's so definitely a personal journey that I went on, is that, you know, you can go like on Instagram and things and you're seeing lots of things saying be yourself.
Yeah.
And for so long I was like, yeah, but I don't know who I am.
Mm.
Why don't I know who I am? That everyone around me seems to be kind of doing the work and finding that. And more recently, I've had realizations around, as a Black British woman, who I am, especially who I was when I entered the workplace, I couldn't be. So from a very early age, it was code switching or tone policing and being someone else to survive and then go on to thrive. So that part of the identity and being yourself, and that comes into it. And it's something that I'm really kind of exploring, and it's very interesting to me. And whenever I talk about it, it resonates with women of all races and all colours, because there's that part of us that is kind of trained to fit in, whether it then manifests in people pleasing or being the good girl. But it's kind of, if you've done that for so long, you get to the point where someone says, be yourself, and you're like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, because after so many years of switching parts of you off, because it wasn't you getting the message, well, that's not really wanted or acceptable. You need to be more like this.
Yeah.
And so it kind of gets switched off.
Yeah.
So when people say, what is that? You're like, I don't know. It's been switched off for years. And how am I supposed to switch it back on?
Exactly. And that is a journey itself that is part almost of the dreaming piece, because it's like, well, then you can really allow yourself to dream too. Because part of my thing is to allow yourself to be more of yourself.
Mm.
And in that work is, well, let's discover who you are and let's give you permission to be that. And maybe in my kind of earlier days, like going back to the ballet and the beauty therapy, they were spaces where I could be more of myself, that I couldn't be in the office. Like I use the example, the way I've got my hair now, I've got it in braids. I could never have walked into my first fashion marketing job, because we're talking like 20 years ago, with my hair in braids. It just wasn't acceptable.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's very different and it's fine. Luckily enough, I don't have to be in a corporate job, but it's just, yeah, that piece of it is just, I just find really fascinating. And it just shows again how layered it can be.
What kind of, so what kind of things have you been doing as part of that journey? What have you found has helped to get you reconnecting with yourself in, you know, in being, yeah, just being allowed to be you and whatever that that is or means in the moment?
I think it's been a number of things. It's been being able to be confident enough to be okay with what I think.
Yeah.
And journaling has helped massively with that. I know you love journaling too. I love your journal, by the way.
Yay!
But writing out those thoughts and seeing them being reflected back and seeing them as valid has helped. Having conversations with other people, whether it's because it's their lived experience or not, but feeling like I can have those conversations has been big. One of the major things that I did right in the beginning that a coach encouraged me to do was the mirror work.
You know, I've not done any mirror. I've done very little mirror work.
Okay. It's super tough in the beginning. I'm not going to lie.
That's why I haven't done it.
But being able to look in the mirror, like no makeup, strip back, look in your own eyes and say that I love you. That has been really, really profound for me. And also layered on top of that, I have a birthmark on my left eye, which I started wearing camouflage makeup on when I was about 16 years old. So again, for me to do that mirror work was kind of even more layered. But what it also, the birthmark was something that I didn't talk about. So my school friends from way back in the day knew about it, kind of pre-camouflage makeup. My husband knew about it, but I vowed that he would be the last person I would tell. And so no one else knew. And when I was asked the question, what are you hiding from? What are you hiding from yourself and other people? That's what came up for me. And so it was almost like stripping back those layers of what I was hiding from, what I felt shame around, allowed me then to step into being more of myself.
Of course, because if you're avoiding the stuff, the shame that lies really, I think, quite often close to the core, then you also can't get to the good stuff that's there.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, I, in the same way as I think, and I went on a big journey with this, of when I started to get into sadness from really old wounds from, you know, from childhood, about sort of 10 years ago, it helped me to then, of course, untap the joy. And so it was like, it wasn't until I dealt with that and healed that, that the real joy could also come out at the same time. And so, yeah, that makes so much sense. So interesting.
It's often, it is, isn't it? Because it's often behind the shame is the truth.
Yeah.
But you're so
comes flowing out, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. And you're so concerned with hiding it that you're holding so tightly onto yourself, onto it, that you're not allowing it to be released for the world to see. So it kind of, like I always say, like my birthmark, I then started to share it. Like I then went on Instagram and shared about it. Yeah. And I'm not advocating that everyone who's got anything needs to do that. But it was just that releasing of it.
Liberation.
And everyone, like I share because I feel like my birthmark is a metaphor. Everybody's got it in some kind of way.
Yeah. Oh, God,
But when you start to own those parts of you, then you kind of free you up to start being more of yourself. So it is like really layered.
It's so complex and layered.
It is. God, we got deep.
Oh God. But this is what I love about you. You have so much depth and lightness at the same time. And that's what I really enjoy about your podcast and just and listening to you on stories. I'm like mildly obsessed. If I just want to like a little pick me up, I'm like, let's see what Nicola's talking about today. I don't really know what I'm going to do when you disappear off for maybe just a couple of weeks. So, you know,
I don't know. Yeah. Well, know me. I probably won't disappear.
You'll be there in labour. Just a quick story.
Exactly. Just to update you.
Yeah. But no, and I really noticed that as well. I was just saying before we hit record about how listening to you and Tamo talking about wellness and wealth, or whatever it may be called, it's just you've just got that wonderful wisdom and depth that just it's just a joy. It's a joy to listen to. It's I love having it. I was listening to you guys both talking on the podcast as I was driving along, and it's just I love how deep you go. And I think you guys were talking about it as well, talking about your event. In fact, let's talk about it. So you did this. Tell us about the event, Wellness and Wealth.
Yes. So the event kind of came about because we were having conversations. We kind of sit in, like all of us, don't we, sit in that wellness space?
Yeah.
So we were having conversations about that, and we were talking about what's not being talked about and what's not being represented. And then money was coming up a lot. Like, that's what Tamu late last year was talking about, money quite a lot as part of her content, and her audience were really loving it. And we were driving along one day and having this conversation, and we're like, there's something in this. There's something about women and their money. But there's also about how it sits into the wellness piece, You can't be well, you can't feel well if you don't have the money coming in.
I totally agree. And we often discuss them in totally different circles, in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's like they're two different things. And it's actually, we can start to bring them together, not only because they sit together, but even if it helps us to be able to deal with them and reconcile them by bringing them together. And we really believe that they're intrinsically linked. And so we decided to do this event together, and everything is, you know, it was one of those ones where the universe conspires to support you. It was so lovely because she had a friend who works at Reuters. So we ended up having the event at Reuters, which was, again, so special because we don't have finance backgrounds, either of us. We're two creative black girls from London, and we were in the middle of the financial district in London having this conversation. It was, as soon as I walked into the room, I was like, Tamu, do you realise the gravity of what this means for us to be bringing this conversation here? And it was almost like us laying a kind of a stake in the ground, saying that this is our space too. Yes. And women should be here having these conversations in our own way. So that even just the imagery of that was just really powerful. Yeah. So we had three different experts coming in talking about money. One of them is Arfi, and she's like I call her a proper money person because she's been a head of a hedge fund. She's worked for Rothschild Investments, and she's like an investment banker type person. Yeah. We had Melanie Usaini, who is another kind of finance person, but more in creative worlds, and she leads the Black British Awards. And then we had Paula Perry, who I just adore because she talks about money in a way that people just get it. And makes it real. And then we had all these women join us for that discussion. And it was, the feedback we got was that it was so nice to have an open conversation about money.
Yeah.
That no one had had before.
And within that context, right, about wellness, you know.
Exactly.
Because within that framework, it feels the energy of money suddenly to me becomes such a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you tie it with my wellness, it's just like it becomes so much more of a positive thing.
Yeah.
Which is obviously because, you know, I think I have money beliefs, sort of mindsets around money that are, oh, it's bad, it's greedy, it's all that stuff. And as soon as you put it in the sort of framework of wellness, it's just like, oh, hold on. It's a whole different character.
Yeah,
it's actually, you know, there to help you thrive and flourish and make you well and help you be well.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the key lessons that you guys learned from it? I mean, I definitely, everyone needs to listen to the podcast you did of your like debrief afterwards.
Yes, we
the
did
two
a summary
together. It was it's so good. But for now, what were the top lessons that you kind of came away?
Yeah, I think it was the fact that everybody has money stories, and it's about owning those money stories and becoming aware of them, and then you can try and do something about it. And it was really interesting because, like, the beliefs that you kind of shared are so common.
Yeah.
So many of us have them. And the power of being in a space where you could just talk about it. Because again, there's so much shame associated with money, whether it's because we've been told money is bad, or if you talk about money, you're greedy and all of that kind of thing. But also being realistic about your money situation as well. It's just dripped with so much shame. So being able to be in a room and talk openly and honestly with no judgment, that is one of the most powerful things that can empower you around your money. And when you look at men and successful men who make lots of money, they talk about money with their peers a lot.
Mm.
And that is part of their ability to generate wealth, is their ability to talk about it fairly unattached. And that's what a space like this is really important. So one of the things that Tamu and I said is, like, finding someone you can talk to about money really honestly.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not your nearest and dearest. Sometimes it is, but it's having that is really powerful. The money stories piece was a big one. And just some of, I mean, Paula dropped this absolute gem, which I loved, which was, if you can't afford something, if you can't buy something twice, then you can't afford it. Because she absolutely, like, she was like, that's what she's taught her daughters.
Oh.
And we were just like, because it reframes what affordability is.
That's so interesting.
I know, right?
I need even to now think gets, about that.
Yeah. It gets every time I'm going to buy something and I'm like, wow.
You buy it twice.
Then you can't afford it.
Amazing.
Really? I know, right? So there were lots of gems thrown around the room. A lot of people left feeling triggered, which was fine, because talking about money can be triggering. But it was about, okay, but now what am I going to do with this? It gave them a really safe space to explore that and then be like, right, now I'm going to, maybe it's because they're not budgeting or don't actually know what's coming in and going out, or for some people, they're sitting on a pot of money that could actually be making money, but they're scared to kind of go out there and do something with it. So there were lots of, it was amazing.
It's such deep work, isn't it? And I think, and when listening to you guys talking about it, you said, well, of course, we always go deep, but I mean, it really went deep. And I can imagine. I love the fact that you took that depth of conversation into a place like Reuters, where probably you don't normally talk from those depths.
Yeah.
But again, when you're talking, it's coming back to that shame conversation. It's like, so much of our struggles around money, and I've worked, and together, Vicky and I have worked with Dr. Talene. Who, have you come across Dr. Talene?
No, I haven't.
You and Dr. Talene need to connect. So she's all about money and soul success and wealth, and she's just amazing. And so we've been working with her, but it's the work is so deep and it's so triggering and it's so challenging. And I've had one-to-one sessions with her, and at the end I'm just like, I need to go and nap, because this is an exhausting. It's just, you know, this money conversation, it's not just about, like, where to put your money and how to save, should I have a pension? I mean, those things are also important, but there's just so much going on underneath. Yeah. It's so, well, tied in with what you do around self-worth, right? Mm-hmm. And absolutely. It's just, I would feel very safe in that conversation with you guys, because I know how you go deep. And
and there's no judgment as well. Yeah. That's the thing, there's no judgment. And when you have to let go of almost your own judgment to be able to share. So that's kind of step number one, which is brilliant. And then you're sharing in a space where it's just open. And Tamu and I share our own experiences as well. And it's just like, well, let's all just get better, really. Let's all just improve. There's no right or wrong. There's no shade. It really is. Yeah. And like you said, it's we've got all of the information. We know where to go for a high interest account. We know that ISAs are this, like good. We know about Monzo and all of the rest of the things, but in some cases we've got all the information, but we're not doing what we need to do.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's looking into that.
Are you going to be doing more? I know you're going off to have a baby, so, you know, give you a bit of time. Again, I was saying before we hit record, just like, I mean, I love what you do and I love watching you individually, but also you and Tamu together are just such a dream team.
We are, aren't we?
Powerhouse of joy and like no nonsense, let's get to work. And yeah. It's just, yes.
It's like you and Vicky. It's like you and Vicky.
I love it. Oh, and I love that. Yeah, female duos. I know.
So we do have plans. Definitely, we like what we do. We try every month to record a podcast episode together.
Yeah.
And then we put it out on both of our podcasts. And then we want to do an event later on in the year, and definitely do more. There's an appetite for us. The women are like, we want more.
That it feels like it's the start of a very big conversation that could go many places. So what is next for you? Obviously immediately next is bringing life into the world.
Oh goodness, yes.
Yeah. Are you two, I'm curious from a personal point of view as well, but like as a business, your own business owner, like, have you given yourself a certain amount of time off, completely off? Are you going to be dipping a toe back in? Like, do you know what you're doing with that?
Well, I'm officially taking kind of 8 weeks off, which doesn't sound very much, but that's off kind of directly working with clients.
Yeah.
And so I'll be coming back to them kind of mid-June, which feels doable because, you know, the nature of the work that we do, it's not sitting in an office 9 to 5. So,
yeah.
That feels very doable. And then I feel like while I'm away, I'll be still showing up on Instagram because I just love
it. Because that's your community.
It is my community. Like, I call it my playground. I love hanging out there. So I will probably be doing that as well. And I've got a group program starting towards the end of June. So I'll be easing my way in. I've done lots of pre-work this side of maternity leave to set up kind of clients and things on the other end. So yeah. I feel like I'm just going to ease my way in, not put too much pressure on, and just see what happens.
Exactly. And just continue to allow things to blossom and grow organically.
Yeah, exactly.
And see where
it can go. I chose two words of the year because I can never just choose one thing.
Yeah.
And my two words of the year were magic and focus.
Oh, and wow. What a combination.
I know, right? And I put them together to be magical focus when I need it. But also I feel like the magical focus has seen me through the first quarter of the year. And now I'm kind of allowing the magic just to kind of flow through for the next few months and see me through, and then kind of ebbing and flowing with it. So that those two words of, you know, sometimes you can pick your words of the year and then forget them. Well, yeah. I know with your journal, like, you keep them close. That's what I love about the journal, because I revisited it and I was like, yes, it helps you to keep these tools close to you and use them throughout the year, because that's when you get the...
Yeah, exactly. Reminding yourself, re-anchoring yourself in,
yes, exactly,
in those words. Oh, that just sounds so good. I love, going with the ebb and flow and with that magic woven through. Nicola, thank you so much. This is exactly, I just felt, we went deep.
We exactly did.
I just love it. Like, when you're just in the conversation, the time is just, I'm just in there floating around and being nourished by it.
I have this inability to do surface level. Like, I go deep quite quick. I'm just...
Vicky and I are exactly the same. We always laugh about it. Sometimes we barely say hello and we're like straight in. Just there, like, whew, okay. Anyway, sorry, how are you? Yes. And we've been through it all for an hour. Well, thank you so much. All the best with like going and having your lovely family nesting baby time, and I just can't wait for when you're ready to come back out and, you know, start spreading that magic and that wisdom and that depth and the lightness and the joy that you bring. Yeah, we can't wait for more. See what happens in the next chapter.
Thank you, my love. You know I love what you guys do, and it's such an honour to be here. And I'm really glad that we got to squeeze it in this time.
I know. I was like, hold on. I don't think I can wait. I think we have to do it now. Quick, how long have we got? You were like, well, about a couple of weeks. Just one last thing. Where can people come and find you? What's your URL?
Oh, my URL is alifemoreinspired.com, and my Instagram is alifemoreinspired. I hang out on Instagram most of the time. So yeah,
that, definitely. Please go and follow Nicola. It will bring joy to your day.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Selena.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.